You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
I was so encouraged this morning hearing these testimonies. Thank you. Thank you. These testimonies that we share are so powerful because what they're doing is saying, look what God has done. Look what the Lord has done. Look who you are, Lord. And that glorifies God. It's more than just, oh, the word testimony means do it again. It's more than that. We're giving glory and honor to the Lord. Do you know? Yes. Do you know when Lawrence shared that testimony that everything that he said about the people who are coming to him and they want to be mentored or however wording he used or they used, whatever it is, do you realize that that released something very supernatural in the spirit over them today by you sharing it corporately? It's something that God wants us to understand more and more with our words, with our mouth, that when we give glory to God, we go down to First Friday, and Andy gave a pretty fiery, get yourselves down there and don't make excuses type of Andy, like, come on, you know, charge in a good way. He's saying we need to do what God's telling us we can and should and will. And sometimes the words should and need make us really mad or we shut down. But when we have opportunities, we want to jump into those and really hear the Lord. Really hear him on timing. Really hear him on choices, right? Because he's all about the kingdom, 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 kingdom. And it's how he looks at the kingdom, not how we look at the kingdom. It's how he looks at the kingdom, and that was great. And Mandy shared, too, her testimony of being here 10 years and the ride that she's been on briefly. The briefly shared about that, very briefly. But it's been amazing, and here she is to lift up the name of Jesus. It's not about being here. It's about God doing what he wants to do, and she's here and listening and going through amazing things and many hard things to do what he wants her to do. That's the point. So this is really exciting today. And I was in and out of the office and stuff, so I don't know if other people shared, sorry. Well, those are the ones that I got. So if there are other ones, I'm sure they're really good. But I really, before I go on, I really want to tell you that we have a miracle in the making with us right now. My best friend, who has been so good to me for the last 25 plus years, was told by the Lord to marry me. So he did, and I did, and it was 25 years ago. We're really excited about it. Yeah. You know, we went through a lot of things to get to that point and didn't know each other, and the Lord put both of us together supernaturally. And if you don't know the story, ask someone who knows it, because it's pretty cool. And everything in our life has been there since then. And, you know, foolish mistakes that you make during those years, when you turn to the Lord and he wipes the slate clean and you keep going, it's the same for all of us. And so we haven't had just this smooth, woo, you know, 25 years ride, but the love has never changed and the love of God for us has never changed. And when we got married, Lamentations 3, great is thy faithfulness, was our main verse, and it's on our wedding invitation that's on our wall. And he gave us many promises the day we married, and he's fulfilling all of them. We might want them sooner than now, but all of them shall be, because we're choosing to believe his promises, and we're choosing with our words, actions, and hearts to back up and not be one of the 10 spies. We're Caleb's and Joshua's together. And the Lord has united us, and that passes down to you guys as well. So praise the Lord for that. And, you know, I so wanted to be at Troy's open house and Rachel's open house yesterday, but something came up that was in the middle of a wild, fun little battle that we're in that did not enable me to get there. And so they know that. They know our hearts. But it's like, Lord, what would you have me do? Not to what do I want to do, but what would you have me do? Can I say that again? Okay, can we all listen to that? What would you have me do? Not what do I want to do? What would you have me to do? And those are probably the most valuable words that I have owned or tried to own in my heart. And sometimes not so well, other times really well. And I believe the Lord through that has seen my heart through and Pastor Bill's heart through. So if you get nothing else out of today, which I pray will not be the case, you'll get many things. Lord, what would you have me to do? Not what do I want to do? And that's going to change everything. It will change things. So we're getting on a plane tomorrow, and we're flying to Israel. We're going to be in Israel. We're trusting and believing on our wedding anniversary, which is Tuesday, June 11th. We married 25 years ago. Yep. And the Lord gave us an extended family as a result or during that time. So we're very blessed. And that's when Christy came in my life. And now I have a daughter and other children as well. So I'm just really blessed to have Christy here and Josh and then Judah and Josiah. It makes me so, so happy. And so I bless the Lord for that and all my other children and grandchildren as well. I'm so blessed. And what I want to say to you guys is that when the Lord gave us the idea, really was a God idea, just a few days ago, I didn't know this last week, didn't even know this on Tuesday when we were here, but he gave us the idea of what he will do with our lives as we continue to listen. And he said, I'm opening up the gates for something new and fresh that you will love, and it's going to Jerusalem. It's like, what? But don't you know we have boom, 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 and we don't have boom, 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 boom? I know. But I'm going to do that, so I'm going to see you through. Amen? So I can tell you one story that's kind of fun that all the children need to hear. So when we decided that we were going to take these steps, and we don't have our context yet in Jerusalem other than, or outside of Jerusalem, like 10 minutes. It's Jerusalem, outer Jerusalem. We have new friends, and we're staying with them, and we emailed them through our contacts that we have around the world, and we're staying with new friends who are very excited to have us, and we have not met them yet, and so we're excited about that. And so when we took these steps going, wow, this is what we're doing, you know, you don't do some weird fake religious thing. Okay, well, I better have a positive confession or nothing will work. Okay, that's weird and fake if we don't understand what that means. But when we do understand what that means, it's not weird and it's not fake. It's true. So we took the steps to say, okay, Lord, we're sensing you're doing this. You're telling us walk through the door. It's open. Do it. Don't be worried about, well, this has to line up and then this will happen and this will happen. So that's what we did. And that includes finances and everything. It's like, huh? God? So he's opened up the door for us, and we're trusting him in all things. So after we made this decision to cooperate with what the Lord was telling us, kind of last minute, or it seems like to most human beings in the world, although he has sent us on missions and different things overnight, he has done that. When you hear the voice of the Lord, you move. So the key is to hear the voice. So Papa Bill, whoops, he woke up that morning, so we prayed and all that. We woke up in the morning, and at that moment, because we had heard the voice of the Lord, this is my testimony. He said, oh my gosh, Jamie sent the envelope out. All of our visas are being processed in the embassy, Mozambican embassy in Washington, D.C. We're supposed to get on a plane, and we don't have any passports. Well, you would think we would think that right away, the night before. But we didn't, because we were so wrapped up in what the Lord was saying could be and will be. Just walk through it and do it. And we were so excited. So we went to sleep like, yes. So my very amazing husband said, what are we going to do about that? I said, oh, my goodness. So here we go the next morning. It's just a few days ago, towards the end of the week. So I started calling the Mozambican embassy, and, you know, you're met with no. And they didn't even have our passports and our, it was all en route. It was in the, you know, in FedEx land somewhere. So it was en route. They hadn't even been delivered in the morning. 20 or 13 passports plus all the money Then the other two girls are coming from Brazil, and you guys know that. So, you know, it's like, well, I know you don't have them there, but they're coming, and they should be there now. Oh, my gosh. And so when they get there, can we have our two back? You don't even have to stamp them to go to Mozambique. We'll do that when we get back. Jamie's so on top of this. And Carly, they, you know, got them all out early, earlier than sometimes. So to us, you know, it's good. We had lots of lead time. But this time, we needed our passports because we didn't know any of this was going to happen. They said, no, we can't do that. Okay, well, so what are you going to do when you get our passports? We're going to process that, but it's going to be in the time frame, and it won't be overnight because we didn't pray for that. And they said, okay. I said, okay at first. Not okay agreeing, just okay, thank you for speaking. But I don't, in my spirit, it's like, no, this is not going to happen. In the spirit, there's a difference between being pushy and a difference between that and being influential. And so I said, Lord, we heard you, so we are influential in the spirit. And that's what Caleb and Joshua did. Okay? They listened to the Lord. And they didn't listen to the other voices. So sure enough, right after that, we find out that all of these things are received. All of our passports are received with the money it's received. So I call again and talk to them. You know what they said? There's nothing we can do for you. I said, oh, well, that's sad. Did you know why we wanted to go, why we needed them back? Well, there's still nothing we can do. Well, it's our 25th wedding anniversary, and we wanted to spend that in Jerusalem, in Israel, on Tuesday. Oh, well, I'm sorry, but you won't be able to get your passports till next week. And the phone would drop. My phone has had some issues. So is there anybody else I could talk to? No, I'm the one, Miss Esperanza. I said, well, thank you. You've been so kind. Thank you so much. Is there anybody that you could connect with to see if there might be an angle or a possibility? I didn't use the word angle, but the idea was, do they have a thought? And so she said, well, I could talk to somebody, maybe. I said, okay, so can I call back? Yes, you can call back. So she says, but I'll call you. I said, okay. So I'm doing my work at home, and I'm asking the Lord, should I wait for her to call me? Or should I call her? What do you say? And not what she said. What do you say? And he said, don't call yet, but wait and then call. And I will tell you when. It's like, okay. So I was very calm and peaceful. And then he said, call. So I called. And she said, there's still nothing I can do. There's nothing at all. I said, oh, is there anybody working with you? His name is Raymond, this man, she told me. I said, oh, okay. Well, it closes. Everything closes at 1 o'clock. So you can call back later. I said, okay. So I waited till about 2 something and then felt the unction from the Lord. Call now. I get on the phone. It's Raymond. And he goes, do you know how many things are coming in? Do you know we have 50 to process in one batch and then we get yours? And there's nothing we can do. Do you know how busy we are? I said, you know, I just can't even imagine how hard that would be for you. I'm so sorry. I said, if there is a way, though, it would be wonderful for us to spend our anniversary in Israel, and you can be part of helping us do that. Is there any way? And he said, there's nothing I can do. This will be an accounting nightmare. I said, well, that's not good. We don't want an accounting nightmare. We want the people in accounting to be okay. Is there anything we can do with that? No, nothing. Phone drops again. It's like, okay, Lord, you told us we're going. What am I supposed to do? Well, I called him back because the phone dropped. Raymond, I'm so sorry. It dropped 4 times. I'm so sorry. And on the 5th time, actually, it dropped again. I used Pastor Bill's phone. I said, Raymond, I'm so sorry. It's my husband's phone. What are you thinking now? He goes, this is so hard. I cannot do. I want to see you go for your wedding anniversary on Tuesday to be in Jerusalem. I said, well, that's wonderful. We want to be there too. Thank you. Is there anything else? He goes, no. I said, oh, okay. I'm thinking, Lord, I don't know what to do now. I was quiet. I was real quiet. He goes, through the quietness, he goes, okay, this is what I will do. Get a pencil and paper. I watched in the spirit, God completely changed his heart. completely. And I said, okay. He goes, write this down. Boom, boom, boom. You need to do this, 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 and this. And you need to get money orders. You need to get letters. You need to reapply. And you need to, I will keep part of the $2,000+ you sent. And then you will send me more. And it was just very confusing sounding at first, but it made perfect sense accounting-wise to him and to the accounting people. So I'm thinking, oh, okay. He goes, will you do that? And I said, well, I'm looking at the clock. I said, I didn't tell him there's nobody in the office. All three ladies are gone. So it's like, and I'm doing other things. I said, well, I can do all of it except reapplying. I cannot do that. I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, what am I saying? Shouldn't I just say, yes, 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 I'll do anything? So when I said, I cannot do that, but I will send you a letter. I will send you two different money orders. I will. I told him all these things I would do. And he said, okay, well, then I'll waive that. You don't even have to reapply. That's what he said. I went, oh, thank you. That's so great. He goes, I'll just use that application. Okay. So I want to make sure you get there for your wedding anniversary. I said, okay. So will you do this? And then you put an overnight envelope in the overnight envelope that you're sending to me, because this is Thursday. That has to get there Friday. Do you understand? And we have to get it on Saturday to be able to fly on Monday. That's the plan. I mean, that's kind of crazy, but it was fun because we're going to Israel. And so I said, we'll do it. So when I called the ladies, Carly just jumped in and she goes, I'm out and about. She wasn't around. And she said, but I'll help you. She got the money orders, and then we worked diligently together on these letters to make sure all the accounting was so straight and what needed to happen that really was could be very confusing to someone in the Mozambican embassy if it's not clearly spelled out and laid out, and then some. So we added another letter. We took all those precautions because we felt the Lord say to do that. Okay? And then the Lord... There was a check in my heart. It's like, what's going on? What is that check? Okay, and I said, Lord, I don't know what it is, but Carly's on her way over to FedEx to take care of everything so it gets there. I don't know what it is, but Lord, your hand, you work it out. You do whatever needs to be done. We only want to be where you want us to be. We only want to be on the plane you want us to be on. We only want to be in the place that you want us to be at. Do you understand? And if he said, you're not going right now, there's going to be something else for you this week, that's where we would have been. This is the point. So bottom line, they got everything mailed out and in the embassy, and he personally took it. He guaranteed me that he would do this. He said, I guarantee I will do this for you myself. I will take it, I will stamp it, and I will return $1,000+ money order to you, plus your two passports overnight. It will be done, and you will be on that plane. And interestingly, he said to me, so what day do you have to have this? I said, we want to fly on Monday. I didn't even have plane tickets. So Pastor Bill and I needed some help. It was very late at night, and Mike McCray jumped in very late and found an amazing deal for us. It's crazy. That has us flying out tomorrow morning. Is that right? This is Sunday. Tomorrow morning out of Pittsburgh at 5:56 in the morning. So here's what happened. So you can track this with us because we're going to pray. The embassy called me. I mean, Carly called and talked to someone, but they ended up calling me, Raymond, personally. He goes, hi, may I speak to Mary? I said, this is Mary. Raymond, did you get everything? He goes, I did. And I stamped it, and I put it in the envelope personally, and I sent it. And I want to say, have a great 25th wedding anniversary in Israel. You may not think this is a huge deal, but when you deal with embassies, trust me, it was a spiritual thing that the Lord did. He did it. It defied reason. It defied logic. And I can try to make things happen because, you know, I'm capable. But I don't want to do that. I want to sit at Daddy's feet, and I want to ask him to use skills that I have, but for me not to push, for me not to do it. And had I done that, we may not be in that place. Because listen, I fear God, And I love him, and I want to really listen to him. It's not how successful we think we are. That's not the way of the kingdom. The way of the kingdom is to sit at daddy's feet and listen and then respond to what he says to do. Not how great and grandiose it's going to look like. And then he gets the glory, and he knows. So where it is right now is that at this point, after we waited yesterday morning, our passports didn't arrive. It's like, where are they? They're supposed to be here by noon. So at 2 o'clock, we're waiting with, you know, FedEx, and we find out that there was a human error somewhere in this, okay, with clerks and such. And so the clerks and such, it's like, okay, well, Lord, you said we're going. What are we going to do? So our passport was flown with money order to Tennessee and has been in Tennessee all day. We had people willing to drive down and go get it. It's already, and it's stamped for Mozambique. It didn't have to be. They could have just sent it back to us. But no, he even stamped it. So the Lord's in this process. We have plane tickets, place to stay, and we have passports. They're just not in our hand. So here we are going, okay, Lord, what do you do with that? So Carly and Peter and Mike McRae got on the phone to try to figure out what might be the way, the path that Jesus is leading. So we had a connection last night that Mike was able to connect in with another person that was going to take some interest in the situation. So as of right now, it appears as though, and Mike's checking on his phone as we go along, that they could be in flight to be brought into Ohio right now, and then someone will have to go get them and put them in our hand before we take off at midnight. And we need the approval of the people who are on ground in Ohio, which hasn't been given yet. So it's crazy. But what it reminds me of is the type of living that we had many years ago where this was much more commonplace. So it tells me, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this. Because you're teaching a whole lot of people a whole lot of lessons right now. And when we preach, don't be one of the 10 spies. Be a Joshua and Caleb. The Lord's really serious. He's saying, the shift is here. Watch what I do, but listen. And do what I say. Don't do what you want. And he will, I guarantee you, he will take your personal schedule and he will interrupt it. That's the truth. That's how Mary Nolan has been helped by so many of you this week. Because he took personal schedules and he moved. And if we hear his voice, we can be used. Carly's going to be reaching out to you to see if anybody would like to continue to help Mary with her house that Justin owns, but help make it a home to paint and do different things. Those of you who've done that, thank you for saying yes. And for the girls, they're not here today, but I believe that God has something for them. It's going to be really amazing. Some of you took the girls out to do their nails. I didn't know, but thank you, Tiana. And some of you brought food and took them out for the day. Thank you, Haley. And others, thank you. And Stephanie, they used your apartment to shower when the shower wasn't working right. You know, things like that. And there's a whole shift going on where her life was changed, coming out, going possibly into a homeless shelter or living out of her car. That's how desperate it was. But when the Lord brought it up and interrupted life and said, okay, this is where I'm focusing you, it took eyes off of what we were doing. It was all good, all good. All good, but it wasn't what he was saying, do now. He's saying, do this now. It's like, okay. And watch what I do. So thank you for that. Haley, come on up. She's got a couple announcements. But I want to pray because we want to be in agreement. We're so peaceful about this. We expect that those will be put in our hands today. There's more to it, but I don't want to share all the details. It's more craziness than this. But we just want to agree. And if you're not sure, don't agree. Just sit there and watch, please. I would rather have one person agree in spirit, in faith, real faith, than everybody going, yes, and not really agreeing. So if you agree in spirit that the Lord is in this and wants to see it through, then so be it. And as I was talking to Peter yesterday, and he gave up going to a bachelor party for Andrew. I didn't ask. You know, he didn't have to. He wanted to jump into the process. He was listening to the Lord. Are we about interrupting bachelor parties? No. I wanted to go to be at Troy's open house. But this is what the Lord said to do. And you have to know his voice. That's my point. So, with this situation, I'm extremely excited about it because I want to see the Lord finish what he promised. And we're gonna see that promise, okay? And see what God will do. One thing that Peter saw on a chair, or not a chair, a car or something, yesterday while he was talking to me on the phone was a bumper sticker, right, Peter? That said, at least she was always persistent. Nevertheless, she persisted. Can you believe that? And then she, he, it doesn't matter. And the day before that, Jamie said, you're like the persistent widow. It's not about me. It's about the Lord saying we can all be a persistent widow. We can all be persistent. And do you know that very phrase, you didn't know this, Peter, but that very phrase is used in Numbers 13 and 14? Nevertheless, we're going to look at it if we have a little bit of time here in Numbers 13 and 14. Listen, some of you are going to be facing big things this week. You need the power of your tongue being so in tune with the Lord that you will say something to someone to pull them out of a prison. You got to say the right thing at the right time and not be afraid. Not just at First Friday. I am telling you by the Spirit, I'm telling you, listen for it, okay? Listen for it, because people need to be turned, and your tongue will be used, because it's going to be even more sanctified after this prayer, listening to the Lord. So if you agree, again, not to get something, I didn't even know if I was going to share any of this, but I am, and I did. So, Lord, I thank you that we agree with you. In this house, we are Caleb's and Joshua's. Some embrace that fully. Some aren't so sure yet. That's okay. But those who want to step into that and say, I don't want to be one of the 10 spies, that the giants are too big, with my family, with my finances, with the ministry, with the very things in front of me, I don't want to be like that, Jesus. I really want to listen and respond to your voice, no matter what it looks like, how impossible. Thank you, Father, that you're raising up persistent widows in this house. Thank you, Lord, that you're raising up Calebs and Joshuas in this house to understand what this looks like. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for the completion of what you've started. We thank you that wherever this is, wherever these passports are, we think they're flying into Cleveland. We know that if they got on the plane, that they will end up in Middleburg Heights. And we're believing that they will be intercepted and we will have those passports. And we will drive to Pittsburgh at midnight, Haley driving us. Thank you, Jesus. We trust you and we thank you. But more so, Lord, we trust you with the truth of who you are, that we can hear you and respond to you. And we're willing, God, to give up our own way and our own plan. And you will be relentless to get us to the point more and more that we're willing to do that without excuse. Because that's where life begins, when we hear you and we respond to you. And we respond to the checks in our hearts as well, when they're really from you and not from fear itself. Thank you, Father, for the spirit of the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, guys, God has something for us, not just to enjoy our anniversary in Jerusalem, but he has something for us to receive to bring back to you guys. So we know that. That's not what the Mozambican embassy would understand. So They understand this, and it's true. Amen? All right. All right, we're going to put up James. What was the first one? Hebrews, the one? You put that. Put the Hebrews up and then James. All right, guys, these are familiar scriptures, but I want you to look at them. And please write them down or put them in your phone, would you? Because I think that when we step out and we speak words of life and faith, things are going to look a little different in our life. And you have to be able to hear things. Okay, Hebrews 4, 1 and 2. Therefore, let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. Yep. I gave you 3 and 4, didn't I? Okay, yes. Go ahead. Well, let me do it again. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. That's a really strong word. Okay, if you've got this, if you understand this, look up there, guys. If you get this and you own it, and you want to own it in your heart, then look at it. Okay, can you guys turn and look? I know that it will cost you. You'll have to stop what you're doing. Stop what you're doing and look. This is how we change what we do. We think everything else is more important than this moment. This moment, this is the word. Look at it with your eyes. Okay? It's more important. Receive. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them. Did not profit them, because it was not united by faith when they heard it. This is one of the most powerful verses in Scripture. Do you see it? So if you hear something, let's say Tiana is saying something that's really important to somebody that she's ministering to. If it falls, if she does it and it falls on them, and it's like, huh, but it's not united with some level of faith. Faith from her, as well as believing that God will open up somebody to receive it, it's not going to profit them. Listen, you're going to be facing things this week. I guarantee you. That's for you, Troy. You will be facing things this week. This week. This verse will change things for you. I just know it. It's changing it for me. It's changing it for Pastor Bill. It's changing it for you, Stephanie. Okay, for you, Mike. Listen to it. Listen to this word. Let me tell you something that happened this week to prove to you this is true. Something very big happened. It was not good, and it was in Brazil. And it was the word that was used. And the word was spoken to someone who was at risk, someone who was vulnerable. And because inside that vulnerable person's heart, there was fear, there was uncertainty. Do you know that when the word was spoken to them, they received it and it almost shipwrecked their entire life instantly? Okay, let me say this again, because this is so important. A word was spoken to someone who was vulnerable earlier this week, and the word was not helpful, was a negative word. But because the person who was at risk had openness in their heart, there was fear there, some unforgiveness there, resentment there, that had been able to sit there and fester a little bit. Okay, from the outside, it looked like this person was kind of flowing. But from the inside, some of that was still in control. So when that person heard the negative word done so nicely, spoken so seemingly kindly, it was received in the way that it was given. It was received by fear, in fear, not knowing, and it literally almost shipwrecked that person beginning, like instantly. You can't even imagine. So let's suppose the Lord wants to set up Ashley, and if Ashley has something in her heart that gives a place for a negative word to hook with in her that she doesn't even know, more than likely, Ashley would at least have a struggle, or she might even hook with that word. It's true. So take this verse and look at the converse of it. That's why God wants us to walk in faith inside. That's why he wants us to change our priorities. That's why he doesn't want us to be focused on anything else when he's giving you something that can change your life. Anything, anybody, anything. I'm not joking with you. And leaving the country for a week, I think it's really important to say that so that we can rise in the offensively go after things of the Spirit, not defensively, like, oh my gosh, it must be the enemy. It's no, I'm going to walk because I'm walking in faith. I'm walking in faith. I'm walking in faith. I may not know what to do when I'm walking in faith, but you're going to speak to me and you're going to help me. Okay? Now, for this one person in Brazil, you know what God did to save that person? Because that person was at risk. Because that person was vulnerable. This is what God did. This is just really cool. Be great if it happens all the time. But because of God's faithfulness and because of his grace and because of all of our prayers that are boom, boom, boom for people that we love over there, here's what the Lord did. He brought somebody into a place that actually heard and saw what was going on with this at-risk person. Can you believe it? And it was a credible person, was a Christian, credible person that was doing something else. But it was so desperately wicked what was going on that the Lord knew that speed was of the essence for this. Or whatever other reason, because he looks at all things. He looks at who's supposed to do something about it. He's supposed to look, the Lord's looking at what needs to happen to make a difference, not just in the at-risk person, but all those who would be affected by the at-risk person. Okay? He's looking at the bigger picture. That's why I say to you, we get to celebrate our anniversary in Jerusalem. How cool is that? But we go with a global mindset of what he's saying and doing on a global scale, first and foremost. And we get to celebrate our anniversary. So you go with a mission heart because God's going to use us, and I know it because that's what he does. You don't say, this is my birthday, this is my anniversary, it's all about me. And I never am paying attention to what he wants to do through that. That's a mistake. We've probably made that at times, any of us, right? But we have to look at things differently. He could have sent us to Hawaii, but he's sending us to Israel. If I had a choice, would you like to go to Israel or Hawaii? Which we do have choices, right? It would be Israel, always, first. It's like, wow, what a privilege to walk where Jesus walked. In me, this is me and Pastor Bill. But God works with those things, right? He works with our heart. So for this verse up here, all right, let's take a look at this. Therefore, let us fear if while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. Think about the word in a negative way now. The negative word did not do anything to them, right? Because they were walking in faith. And so the Lord put somebody in faith in close enough proximity to see. Why? Because the weight of this battle was so strong, it could have not just destroyed this at-risk person, but it could have affected, you know, many more things than that. But God cares about this at-risk person, but he cares about everything that that person is even part of and what the future is. And he's looking at your future. He's thinking about your future. He's thinking about my future. He's thinking about the future of all of us. So if we own this, then we are going to go after faith. Now, how do you go after faith? Well, that's what we preach every week. So you already know you need to be in the Word. You need to do what the Lord is saying. So, and not be offended if someone is leading something and you hear from Andy, get yourselves out and do something and help me, basically. However he said it, I was coming in. But he was strong. See, you have to think about these things. How do we make these decisions? How do we make these kinds of decisions when we're tired, when we're feeling weary, when we're trying? How do we do that? Through rest. We enter into the rest of God. Before I called the embassy at all, Papa Bill prayed this powerful prayer of peace over all things, over us, over the embassy, over everything that was coming. We didn't know how this was all going to take shape. We just knew we were going because the Lord said so, not everybody else, not even FedEx. I know they know everything, right? But not even FedEx. The Lord's in charge, you see? This is how it works in the Spirit. Okay, so we want things to profit the people we're around. Think of what you are facing this week. Think of what's coming. And think of your responsibility for you, but everybody else, because there are little ears that will watch and hear. There are big ears that will watch and hear. And people are going to be influenced either for the kingdom and glory and the way God says to do it, or they're not. And if we have our way of thinking that leads us instead of the kingdom way, we could rob people from what God wants to do for them. So if, Angela, where you're working, whatever you're doing, if you think about this scripture and you say, yes, Lord, that's you and I together. Thank you that I'm a woman of faith. Thank you that I can hear you. Thank you that what I say, what I do, the word that I release can actually help save a life. And while I'm helping people get, you know, whatever things you do in the nursing home, that you could be affecting their spiritual place of eternity. You could be affecting their spirit. You will be affecting their spiritual walk. And the Lord has preordained these things. He has put them out there. He has good works for you to do. And sometimes, you know, we just don't want to. It's like, okay, let's have peace. Peace, peace, peace. And Jesus said, I came to bring a sword because I am peace. So use the sword, use the word. And sometimes it might be pretty strong, but use it in the right way. If you use it because you've got fear in here, then it can be boom and it can be harsh. But it can be strong and not be harsh. It can be cutting and not be harsh. There's a difference. Terrence, same for you. Think about your week. Okay? Think about what you're facing. Okay? Same for you, Rachel. Whatever you're facing with the children this week, whatever you're facing now that you have everything going in the clinic, Troy, how can this make a difference in my life? This verse right here, I want this to profit. The word that they heard did not profit them because it wasn't united in true faith. So if somebody says to you, boom, here's a prophetic word for you, and for whatever reason, you choose to resist it, Maybe you've been disappointed. Maybe you haven't seen the fulfillment of words. You know, whatever it would be. If you don't receive it by faith, the enemy then has a right to come and completely steal it from you. And actually, in Brazil, that's what was going on. Even about words and pictures and visions that have been given out. They're all false. Don't listen to them. It's not from God. And on and on and on. I mean, that's witchcraft. That's divination. But that can happen even in our lives. Don't fool yourself. We can have a word that's given, and the spirits that don't want you to walk in the fullness of the promise will try to steal that hope and steal the promise from you. It's the truth. Think about that. What has been given in the spirit? Well, I don't know. I just doubt whether it really was God. You better go back to the source of that, because if it was the Lord and you're doubting it, the enemy doesn't just steal that promise. He steals everything around you, but will try to convince you that everything's okay. You're doing the best you can. Look at all the good that I'm doing. But you'll never reach your destiny that God has if the enemy continues to keep stealing. Some people will say, oh, the enemy can't do that. Oh, yes, he can, if we let him. So we don't have to fear it. We just have to say faith in you, because you're going to take me, Lord, through every hoop, spiritual hoop. And it's not like jump high, you're in a rat cage, but it will be a spiritual opportunity to say, Lord, oh, I see. You've been speaking to me all along, and it's been stolen from me, and I didn't even know it. Now I can see it's been stolen, and now I'm going to go after it to get it back. That's how we have to treat the promises of God. When Andy goes, here's an example. When Andy goes down to First Friday and commits to doing that, if we frontline develop a attitude about it that affects us, we will never support him as a leader. We won't. Or we'll do it maybe if there's nothing else to do. You see? So it's not about, they make me go to First Friday. Yes, that's not what I'm saying to him. I'm using him as an example. If we catch the vision of what God has opened up, then we go to the Lord and we talk to the Lord about that and say, what are you saying? Well, it doesn't fit in with my plan and my way. Man, that's what I'm saying. And I don't know what your plans and your ways are, so I'm not even thinking about that. I'm just thinking about this, okay? If the Lord has given you an unction to support, to be the evangelist out there, to do that, to raise up the little kids, to go on the streets, you know, then do it. Because the biggest problem that we have, I have it, if I do, you do. Problem meaning, you know, testings, let's put it that way, better word, is am I going to do what you're really leading, or am I going to do what I want? What are you really leading? Because it's going to feel really good to go to the park and have a picnic while Andy goes and sets up a tent. Now, that may sound like condemnation, but it's not. Because the idea isn't whether you went or not. I don't even know. Okay? I was dealing with this issue that the Lord said, you need to be on top of this lady. Okay, I will, in prayer. So I wasn't there. But it was because of something that he had very specifically that he clearly said. So I get that. So it's not taking inventory. It's taking advantage of what the Lord says can be. And that would be his heart when he says, come on, First Friday, come out. And then sometimes we really can't. We know that. So this is not a plug for First Friday. This is just to say, if we hear that it's growing, that things are growing here, where people are being touched by the Lord, if we want to participate in that spiritually, we're going to have to battle for it, because the enemy won't want any of us there, including Andy. That's all I'm saying to you, because I don't know what your life is and what you're doing. That's so you hear me on that, okay? The enemy brings condemnation. The Lord releases faith to step into things that we can do. You know, when somebody starts talking like this about faith, we can also position our ears to close off. Oh, I don't want to hear that. But this scripture verse right here is intended to profit us to step into the gifts and the calls that he has for us. That's all. So we can be a blessing to others. So if people think, well, all they're doing is wanting me to do work, then we've missed the scripture verse. We've missed that. You know, this is what I do on whatever time. It's kind of like all I can do is offer, that this is what has benefited my life, is that I've wanted to lay down and say, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. If we really do that, then we're going to see that some of the things that we touch, he's going to say, take your hands off of that. Let me do that. I need you here. I want you here. He really wants to lead us and guide us. That's the Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit. Do you see what I'm saying? I said to Audrey, because we're just really honest, her brother or sister is moving out of state. She needed to go support her on Friday night and her brother-in-law. Yes. Unless the Lord said, listen, you need to do this. But so she has to actually put that before the Lord. I would say, go support your brother and brother-in-law and sister on the surface, I would say it. But what I would say to her is, because you want to hear the Holy Spirit and what he's saying that could be different than what seems to be logically the thing to do, right? Ask him. But it wasn't with any intent to get her to do something else. Because it's the same for any of us. Ask him, but listen. He'll tell you, Lord, I'm sensing I need to move this direction, but it kind of flies in the face of this. But God is all about people. So we ask him, but listen. If you ask and you don't hear what he says, then that's where we err. And this is where this cannot kick in for us. Do you understand? That's the point. And so Audrey went to support her family, which was great. It's like, yeah, makes sense to me. Do it. She's moving to St. Louis. But what would she do? Now, let me use you, Audrey, okay? If she's hearing, you know, you can go for this amount of time, but you can still do this for an hour and a half, and here's a half-hour drive. What if she heard that? She should do it. Do you understand? And then you can go after or before or whatever, if that's what the Lord said, because I don't even know what it was. And maybe it was a dinner and she needed to be there. I don't even know, and that's why I can use this example. But when she asks the Lord, then the Lord tells her, this is where I need to use you most. Because I'm always using you to bless people, but to give them the gospel of the kingdom through your life. And she went. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with if she went to First Friday, I wouldn't have a problem with that. The only thing that we ask is that you really care what the Holy Spirit is saying and directing, and then do it. That's what we care about. And then we care that if you say it's the Holy Spirit, and it's really not, of course I care about that. And do you know that this person in Brazil thought it was God to go and derail a person and to take everything that was said and boom, boom, boom. You know that prophetic. You know this and this and this and this. And it was so strong that because they had their own issues inside, they partnered, honestly, with divination, a counterfeit prophetic spirit. It's like, wow. Oh my gosh. So that's what's happening in the last days. We've got to hear the voice of the Lord and not say, I'm just close to Jesus and I feel snuggly and huggy and everything else. That's not enough. You can say that, but we have to be led by the one who's living inside, and his name is Holy Spirit. We have to be led. We have to be led. So we have to hear his voice. We have to hear what he's saying. We have to get his timing. And when we're not, and we do stupid things, if we say we repent, then we're not going down that road again. You will run from anything that looks like what you embraced before. Not only will you run, you will do everything to try to, you know, fix that without using the fixing word of natural. So you go to the Lord, and then when you repent, when you ask for forgiveness, you so mean it that there will be nothing that will ever, ever touch that again. I was telling someone something recently. I'm giving an example to a child. Let me tell it to you. If you were a child and you took a baseball and you threw the baseball, boom, because you were being careless, or you were doing it on purpose, either way, careless, oops, or I want to break that big window that costs a lot of money because it makes me feel good and I want to do it. So careless means I wasn't paying any attention to it. And then, oops, it just came out of my hand. Either way, there's a problem. The enemy works through intentionality and he works through ignorance. But when someone keeps doing something, okay, there's intentionality. So repentance is necessary. So I was telling this child, if you pick up a ball and you throw it and it breaks it, oh my gosh, you feel sad, like, oh, I did the wrong thing. But what do you need to do about that? If you know Jesus, ask the Lord for forgiveness and ask someone else for forgiveness, right? But then what about the window? What do you do? You want to do whatever you can in your power to help that person that owned the window feel significant and know that, you know what? I messed up. I'm so sorry. But if that child just walks away and hopes somebody else takes care of it, we got a problem. So a really good parent will help a child see, oh my gosh, Mrs. Jones's window was broken. I know I didn't mean to. Maybe. Or I was horsing around and it happened. I didn't mean to, but I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do. Maybe. Or I don't like Mrs. Jones and I broke it, right? So a lot of different things. But what happens when the glass from that window, hear this example, okay? When the glass from that window is on the ground, if you have the money, if you say you're sorry, and then you are given the money, if you're a child, or you work for it or something, to replace the window, that's nice. But who's going to clean up the glass? What about the glass? What if some other little children went outside, or big people, and they went outside and they stepped on the glass that was broken? What could happen? And this child said to me, well, I mean, they could get hurt. Their foot would hurt. It could bleed. They could get infected. It could be terrible, you know. Just take it. So it was a problem. But what if the person who needed to make sure that the window was replaced and the person who owned the window's heart was okay, what if they didn't take care of the rest of it? Would they really have repented? Would they really have loved their neighbor as themselves? No. Well, I went to God and I said, I'm sorry. And I said, I was sorry to Mrs. Jones. But when we repent, we finish what we're supposed to do. It's not just about us. Oh, I never want to do that again. No. I want to do what I can for the people who would be affected, right? And sometimes there would be people who didn't even know there was broken glass at first. But when they walked in the area where there was a broken window, a shattered window, or a shattered heart, think about that. There are pieces. There are pieces. And the Lord says, those pieces I can pick up and I can mend. But you may have a part in that. You, the one who was part of that breaking initially. And so, if we want to be fully walking in repentance, we take ownership of the fullness so that the word that we're hearing, this is you're hearing about repentance, but you want it to profit you and the person you're with, so you receive it in faith, like yes, yes, yes. And so this week, when Angela goes to her job, it's very practical. It's like, yes, I can take a step in every way because I care first and foremost about the Lord and what he thinks, and secondly, about that person and everyone that would be affected negatively. So there are a whole lot of people who are running around saying, I forgive or I repent, and they don't even know the biblical meaning of it. And they only start the process. But the enemy takes advantage of wrong thinking, wrong belief. He takes advantage if we don't know the scripture of what we need to do on our end to cooperate with the Lord. Then things can actually be hanging out in the spiritual area and not be finished, and many people can be harmed. What if in this situation there was a window that was replaced and it's great, and then there's all the glass from that window that just stays in that yard, and that people who don't know any better or have something in their own heart that blinds them because of their own choice, their own sin, and they walk right on that glass. It may not be a broken window, but it could be their life. It could be their foot bleeding. It's not a small thing. It's intended to continue to go down the line. Now, this is a very rough, childlike example, but you can apply it to your life. Think about what you're going to be doing and facing coming up. Think about this, especially in the area of forgiveness and repentance, especially. You want to be people who will say, Lord, I want to see it finished all the way to the end. From my perspective, your perspective in me, what do I need to do? And you might be someone who will be used by God to actually say, you know, there was a shattered window or a shattered heart over here. You do have a responsibility to clean up that glass because that's part of what you need to do, because that's true. And when you take responsibility for what part you played in this without excuse, it will change things in the spirit. It'll change things. There will be a release in the spirit to the people who are being affected through one person's choice. One person's choice. Like Achan, right? You all learned about Achan, right? In Killing Kryptonite. One person, boom, boom, boom. So don't be that person, but if you are with a person who, you know, has been an Achan that way, help Achan get free and the rest who are affected by Achan through speaking the word truthfully and in season. and God can use you. But if you carry law in your heart, I'm not talking about the law of the Lord, but law, it'll be, all right, now I'm the police. No, you be the spiritual rudder. You be the spiritual rudder with your mouth and watch what God will do. Amen? Okay, James 3, real quickly. Therefore, not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. Ooh. Think about that. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's perfect, able to bridle the whole body as well. 3. Okay, that means that we're mature when it says perfect. We're a perfect man. So we can, C-A-N, we can decide to not stumble in our mouth. As we mature, the Lord will make a way. So our words are very important. That's why I started with Hebrews 4. Okay? Our words are very important. 3, if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. 4, look at the ships also. Though they are so great and they're driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also, verse 5, the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. Okay? Think of the glass. Think of the glass being broken. Think of the glass on the ground. Think of the grass. See? G-R-A-S-S, that's underneath the G-L-A-S-S. So when the broken glass is on top of the nice green grass and no one picks it up, what happens to the beautiful G-R-A-S-S that was thriving? What happens to it? It dies. So these are really important things. Verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. These are strong verses. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. Now, if that verse becomes so real to us that we start thinking, oh my gosh, you mean every word that I say can affect somebody or something, somewhere? Yes. So every word that I don't say that I am required by God to say and do, to finish repentance, to finish forgiveness, all of that, is the same. Well, I'm just better if I don't say anything. No. The Lord's saying that use your tongue as a rudder. And then the wind of the Spirit will blow. And then the Lord will get the glory and people will be set free. Think about this. And if you don't understand what I'm saying, it'll be posted tonight, today. Listen to it again, okay? Think about these words. Seven, for every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. 8, but no one can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil and full of deadly poison. Oh boy. 9, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. Now think about this. If our tongue says the wrong thing or isn't used to say the right thing, we're releasing curses. Maybe somebody has an idea of something, that they believe something that is not true, and you know it. You have to do something with that as you ask the Lord so that you're not saying, it's not my problem, not my problem, not my problem. Unless the Lord specifically says, at this moment, hold your tongue. That was tested for me the night my father died. He died in the middle of the night, and I saw him. I was the last close family member to see him. And what he said to me was so profound. And it was in a, you know, great, great, great situation that we were having, a great conversation. And the Lord said these words to me. I heard him. He said, "Say nothing." And I'm very verbal. "Say nothing. This is between your dad and me." I heard those words. I shut my mouth. And I said, "I love you, Dad. See you soon." And he died that night. Now, when I say these things, you know, there are serious things that the Lord wants to trust you with. He wants to trust you and me with hearing what he's saying and doing. And I feel real good about closing my mouth. It wasn't the enemy, it was the Lord. And I know where my dad is. But I heard that. Can you imagine? Because I know the voice of the Lord, and I believe these scriptures. So listen and apply them. We're going to wrap up in a few minutes. We're going to pray that we can apply them to our lives so we can be people of faith in them. Verse 10, "From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way." 11, "Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? No. Nor can salt water produce fresh?" No. There's an entire teaching that I want to get into when we get back, more about the tongue. We don't have time today. I just wanted to impart these words because the Lord is looking at the tree. It's not enough to say, "Oh, that person says they're going to Jesus." You need to know them by the Spirit, and you need to hear what the Lord is saying. And you might be the very one to help rescue someone out of disaster. You just don't even know. It's got to be His way and His timing. But many times, if we're afraid, then we use that. I can take that from PMP. His way and timing. Yep, got that. But other times, you know, we just have this inside. When true repentance has been completed from God's perspective, it doesn't exist. What happened doesn't exist. And peace reigns. Peace comes. And we keep going because we're imperfect beings, okay? But we do what we need to do. We do what we need to do. And if people don't know that and they believe a lie, do you know this can go on for generations? Broken glass on top of broken glass on top of broken glass. Because inadvertently, even with the new window, someone will throw a ball at it and try to bring shatter. Like for our anniversary, you know that we both came out of really difficult situations and the Lord supernaturally brought us together, and I can't thank the Lord enough. Okay? And so the Lord doesn't want anything in your lives or what happened to you or what you're part of to repeat, because He's looking at legacy. He's looking at your families as legacy and inheritance, not just all getting along. It's legacy, inheritance. So we scripturally apply what we're hearing here. And you may have to go unpack that before the Lord so that you're hearing what the Lord is saying. Because these scriptures are really, really strong. I'm not going into it, but the next chapter actually, part of chapter 3 is verse 13 through 18, and it's the two types of wisdom. If it's the wisdom of God that's being followed with our tongue, it's very clear. If it's the wisdom of the world, it'll bring destruction, or it will keep destruction going forward, which brings destruction. You can read that yourself. I'm not going to get into it. And then finally, I was hoping, can't happen today, but may I encourage you guys to just over the next week, read Numbers 13 and 14. Read it. Just write it down. Read it. Read it at night before you go to bed. Think about it and familiarize yourselves with the account about Caleb and Joshua. It's really good. And I could have unpacked that today and not even gone down this road. I was not quite sure what the Lord wanted to do. So I'm giving you the challenge. I know you're busy because I'm busy. And I know that you're all workers and you all love Jesus so much in this room. I couldn't be more proud to be family with you. So I know we have things going. But may I encourage you with this word that's been released. It's not just enough to say, I'm a Caleb and Joshua. We have to know what they were like. And listen to what the 10 spies did. What they said and what they got as a result. You don't want to get what the 10 spies got. I don't want to get what the 10 spies got. Amen? Let's pray. Let's all pray. Father, we want to receive today everything that your words have spoken to us in our hearts, Lord. We expect that you are giving us everything today that's pertaining to life and godliness. And Father, the expectation from heaven is for us to receive your word in faith so that it works for us. You want it to work for us. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I watched your word work in an embassy because it was your plan, but I had to follow your way and use your words as a person of influence because that's how you chose to do it. So I thank you, Lord, for that. I thank you that today, that every person who's hearing the word released today receives it by faith. Receive it by faith today so that it works for you. Receive it by faith. Receive these words by faith. Just tell him, Lord, I receive your word by faith so you will grow me up in the Spirit in ways that I haven't seen or touched yet. Touch me, Jesus. Touch me, Jesus. Order my footsteps. Order my choices. Help me. You give me choices because you know the plans you have. But I want to step into the best for others, the best for me in my life, because the best will bring you the most glory. That's what I want, Lord. I thank you for the most glory being able to be worked through these words of life today so everyone would feel encouraged and strengthened, God. First Friday is just an example that we all have heard about and we know is an option, God. It's not condemnation. It's an idea of what you are saying to each individual separately. May we hear what you say. Thank you, Lord. May we hear what you're doing. Thank you, Lord. That's really all that you ask. That's all you ask. And we want to be the recipients of your heart speaking to us so we can hear you honestly. And when you tell us to let go of some things that we hold too tight to, that we can do it and trust you so we can be free to be trusted by you, free to be trusted to do great and mighty exploits like Joshua and Caleb, free to hear you and to know that every time we step out in faith, we're giving you glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for turning the situation in Brazil around. But the way you did it is so amazing, God. And those words were broken over this at-risk person by someone in spiritual authority. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, because you're all about rescuing people and families and ministries and businesses and nations and cities, people groups. God, you're the rescuer. We just get to partner with you. Thank you, Lord. Let this be, Jesus, that we will hear what we're supposed to say and do and be your instruments, that we say yes and we agree with what your word is, and then we know that you will test us. You will put us in the very situations that we're praying about now. We say yes. Thank you, Lord. It will cost us something, probably our will, probably our emotions, probably our mind. Thank you, Lord. You're so good. We bless what you're doing. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Andy's going to preach next week. He said, when I asked him, he said, what a privilege. You'll be in Israel and I get to preach next week. What an honor. I said, you're right. It is. It's an honor to hold this thing. So do it well, man. So come and support him, okay, you guys? Come and support him next week. So God bless you. God bless you. May these words of life touch you deeply. I know they're touching me. Amen. Hallelujah. Good, fun music.
Thank you for listening. If you need any additional information about Frontline Ministries International or Frontline Worship Center, you can visit us on the web at www.frontline-ministries.org or email us at info@frontline-ministries.org. Or you can contact us by phone at area code 330-837-8399. Thank you for listening. If you need any additional information about Frontline Ministries International or Frontline Worship Center, you can visit us on the web at www.frontline-ministries.org or email us at info@frontline-ministries.org. Or you can contact us by phone at area code 330-837-8399. Thank you for listening. If you need any additional information about Frontline Ministries International or Frontline Worship Center, you can visit us on the web at www.frontline-ministries.org or email us at info@frontline-ministries.org. Or you can contact us by phone at area code 330-837-8399.